Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nun Tes. We left off on the top of daf Nun Tes, Amud Aleph, third line of the page, by Rabbi Yochanan Shita. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, also by the Snitau family, Lizchus Rafur Shalema, for Ben Brafman, Binyamin Ben Rachel, Yishav Rafur Shalema Bekarov, also by Shamshi Shlafrak, in memory of his grandfather, Menachem Yechiel Ben David Alevi, whose yahrzeit is today, the Neshama Shavin Aliyah, and also by Jenny and Moshe Bookman, in memory of Dr. Shalom Bookbinder, father of our good friend, Moshe Bookbinder. May his neshama have an aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding again Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. We are just three lines into the page, and we're in the middle of going through all of the different explanations of why it is that if a bell loses its clapper, all of a sudden it's still, somehow, it's still going to remain tame. It does not lose its tumah status, even though it obviously no longer functions to ring normally as a bell. So we had two explanations yesterday, and today we're going to have Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, which is the third explanation, and then the Gemara is going to discuss. This leads directly into the discussion of when does a Kli have to still have its old function in order to retain its old Tumah status, meaning if a Kli is functional still, even in its broken state, but it's a new function, it's not what the Kli was originally intended for, is that considered as if the Kli is broken and it loses its Tumah status, or do we say no, as long as it's functional for something, it retains that old Tumah status? And that topic is pretty much the entirety of Amud Aleph. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to identify this piece of jewelry that the Mishnah referred to, called an ear shel zahav, and we're going to have three different shitos about whether a woman, or about the Yisra of Hotza'ah, when it comes to an ear shel zahav, when it comes to wearing such an item. The Gemara is then going to discuss going out with a Kalila, and the story of Levi arriving in Bavel, so we're going to discuss going out with this item called a Kalila. We're going to discuss what exactly that is, and through that story, through that discussion, we're also going to mention what happened exactly when Levi arrived in Bavel, and why Levi ended up in Bavel. Then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss going out on Shabbos with a belt, with an extra belt, if you're wearing two belts, with rings, nose rings, and rings on the fingers, and with aprons, and all these different types of items that one may go out with or may not go out with to Rosh HaSarabim on Shabbos. So again, let's go to the beginning over here. So with three lines from the top of the page, Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Yesterday we were discussing that the Bryce had mentioned that Nitlu in Balayan Adayin Tumasun Aleyan, that if a bell loses its clapper, it's still as a din of Tumah. It still retains its status of a Kli. So the Gemara wanted to know, L'may Chazu, what could you possibly use it for? So yesterday we learned two answers. Abaye said, Hahed Yot Yachalach Zero, that anyone could fix it. You don't need to be an expert in order to fix it. And since anybody could fix it, it's as if it's not broken at all. Rava had disagreed. Rava said, no, it's still functional as is. You don't even need to fix it because it's Roy Lakisho Al Gabi Cheres. You could bang it on a piece of pottery or bang a piece of pottery on it and it will still ring like a bell. And we said that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina agrees with Rava. So now we're up to the third opinion as to why it is that the bell that lost its clapper is still going to be tameh. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, that whole v'roi l'gameh bo mayim l'tinok. As is, it may not function as a bell anymore, but it's still functional as a kli. You could use it as a baby bottle. It holds water very nicely. So since it holds water very nicely, it's a functional kli. So it turns out, any broken kli does not become tahar from its Kabbalah's tumah status unless it's not roi for any malacha. The fact that it's not roi l'malacha rishona, for its original malacha, does not take away its status of Kabbalah's tumah. It has to be something that's absolutely not functional at all, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in order to lose its tumah status. So ask the Gemara, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold such a thing? Rabbi Yochanan lo bai main malacha rishona? Does Rabbi Yochanan really not require that it have some sort of function similar to its original function? Really, all he requires is that it have any sort of function? Vatanya, but we have a braisa that darshins the psukim that describe medras hazav, that if a zav sits on or relies on something, that it becomes tameh with tumas medras. Pasuk says, v'chol kli asher yeshev alav, and any kli that he sits on is going to become tame. So yachal, I might think kafasa of yashav aleha, that if he takes a large measuring utensil that measures out a size of a sa'ah, and he just flips it over and he sits on it like a big bucket, that he flips over and he sits on the bucket, so kafa tarka v'yashav aleha, or another kli, but it's the same idea, it's just a kli that's half the size of a sa'ah, he takes a half sa'ah size kli and flips it over and sits on it, so I might think, yehi tame, that it's tame tumas medris if a zav sits on it, so tamalomar asher yeshev alav hazav. That's why the pasuk says asher yeshev alav hazav, that we are able to darshin misha miyuchad liyeshiva, that the tumas medris is only going to be transmitted to something that is designated for the purpose of sitting, yatzazeh sham lo amod v'nasa melachtenu, as opposed to over here where this is not these buckets are not designated for sitting. So if someone needs to come measure something, they'll say, get off of that, we need to use it for its primary function, which is to go and measure things. So when it comes to if a zav already sat on something that was made for yeshiva and it became tamei tumas medrash, it would also follow that that if it then breaks and is no longer ra'ui li yeshiva, that it loses its tumas medrash status, even though its component parts may still be functional for something. But the bottom line is, tumas medrash can't be shayach to something that is no longer whose primary function is not yeshiva, because it would be bechlal amod v'nasa melachtenu. If its primary function is for something else, somebody would say, get off of that, we need to use it for that something else. So it's as if we say the yavo v'nasa melachtenu rishona, that we used to sit on it, and now it's not ro'i for that anymore, and therefore it's tahar from, it would be tahar from tumas medrash. Now what exactly was this drasha? Because the pasuk says asher yeshev alav hazav, so that automatically tells me that its primary function has to be yeshiva. I don't see that. All it says is that a zav has to sit on it. So what is that? Where do you see from the word yeshev that it relates to its primary function being the yeshiva? So the Rishonim discuss this. Rashi in Dibra Maskel Talmud Omer says it's because it doesn't say Yashav Elav Azav, that something becomes Tameh when a Zav happened to have sat on it. Yeshev is in Lashon Asid, that this is designated for future sitting. That's what its purpose is. That's what it's meant to do. So that's what Rashi understands based on the Medrash and Parshas Mitzorah. Rashi then says that some have a Girsa that the Limud is from a different Pasuk. Vayoshev ala Kli Asher Yeshev Elav Azav Yichabes Begadav. So the limud is from the fact that it says two yeshivos. Hayoshev ala kli asher yeshev alav azav. So it's yoshev and yeshev. It says it twice. So what's the double expression of yeshiva? That it has to be something that's really designated the yeshiva. Rashi doesn't like that pshat so much because there is no extra words over there. Or if you look in the medrash has a drasha for each word in that pasuk. So it's not like there's something to be darshaned out of the fact that it happens to have said it twice. And now the Gemara brings a machlokas amuraim. If we have a similar klal when it comes to tumas meis, that's as far as tumas medrash is concerned. Something that's miyuchad li yeshiva, we had such a rule. So Rabbi Lazar Omer b'midrasos omrim amod v'nasa melachtenu. Yes, when it comes to tumas medrash, we say such a svara that if it's meant primarily for something else, then it's no longer tamei tumas medrash. But ve'inom b'tamei meis amod v'nasa melachtenu. We don't say such a similar thing when it comes to. We don't say a similar svara when it comes to tumas meis. Even if something is already ruined and you would no longer say amod mimlachtecha, and let's go back to do its original malacha, and not a malacha not something that's similar to its original malacha, since it's still ratwi for any malacha, even if you wouldn't say even if it wouldn't be ratwi anymore for the original malacha that it was intended for, but it's ratwi for any malacha when it comes to tumas meis, it would still have a shame kli and it would still be tame. So unlike tumas medrash, where as soon as someone would say, you know what, that's not meant for sitting, so get off of that, so then it loses its status of tumas medrash. When it comes to tumas meis, even if it wasn't, if it's no longer meant for its original malacha that it was intended for, but it's still functional for something, then it's still going to be tame tumas meis. That's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar af omer b'tamei meis amod v'nasa melachtenu, and this is the key line over here. Because we're trying to figure out, we're trying to ask a stira in Rabbi Yochanan. That here Rabbi Yochanan says that if you have something that's not ra'ui for its original malacha, even though it's still functional in some way, it becomes tahar from its tumas mace, even though it's still ra'oi for some sort of malacha. So it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan is being soser that which he said about the bell, that he said the bell is mekabel tumah even though it loses its clapper, since you could use it for something else. Apparently the fact that you could use it for something else is significant and gives it a tumah status. And yet over here, when it comes to tumas mace, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if it's no longer meant, if it's no longer usable for its malacha rishona, then it no longer has the status of that kli that had become tameh. It has all changed when it's no longer right, even though it's ra'oi for some sort of malacha. There's our stira in Rabbi Yochanan. So answers the Gemara, epuch kamaisa. You have to change around the names attached to each shita in that first machlokas. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan must not have been the one who said that the reason the bell that loses its clapper is still tameh is because of the gamea bo satinok, that you could make a baby bottle out of it. No, Rabbi Yochanan would hold that's insignificant. That's not what it was originally meant for. Rabbi Yochanan must have agreed with Rava. He must have been the one that said that if you could lahakisha al gabei cheres, since it could still be used as a bell, as long as you take a piece of pottery and clank it around in there, it could still be used as a bell. Ah, so it could still be used for its malacha rishona, for what it was originally intended. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. And that's consistent, that's entirely consistent with what he says with regard to Tumas Meis, that only when it's still ra'ui for its malacha rishona, does it retain its original tumas status. Says the Gemara, okay, but we had a stira in Rabbi Yochanan. One case, he spoke about a bell that was broken, still being mekabel tumah, and why that's true. And the other case, speaking about tumas mace, and whether it goes away when the kli is no longer usable for what it was originally intended for. So we had to switch something, because it was a blatant stira. But my chazis da fakta kamaisa, epuch basraisa, why would you detach Rabbi Yochanan from his shita in the first discussion, in the discussion of the bell, and instead of just flipping around Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan in the discussion about Tumas Meis? Meaning, I understand, there's a stira, so something needs to be changed. We have something was lost in transmission over here, but why not change it around when it comes to the discussion of Tumas Meis? That have it that Rabbi Lazar is the one that says that as long as it's that it still needs to be ra'oi for its original function, and have Rabbi Yochanan be the one who says that as long as it's functional at all for anything, it still has the status of a kli to be metami tumas meis. So says Gemara, no, we can't, because Hashemini le Rabbi Yochanan debay mein melacha rishona, because there is a kasav hashlishi machriya b'nehem. We do know that Rabbi Yochanan holds in different contexts that in order for something to still retain its original status, it has to still be ra'oi for its original malacha. Where do we find such a thing? Ditnan, there's a Mishnah in the 14th parak of Kelim that serves as the Kasav HaShlishi. Sandal shel behema shel matechas. If you have a shoe made out of metal for an animal that's there meant to protect an animal's feet from the stones and the thorns and whatever else it might trample on, so tameh, it's mekabel tumah. So says Gemara, lemai chazi, what could you use such a sandal for? It's there for a behema, but that wouldn't be enough reason for it to be mekabel tumah, because that only has a din of a tachshit, and Rashi points out, ein tachshit le behema. So what in the world is its function outside of the behema that would give it the status of Kabbalah's Tumah, that would give it the status of a kli to be Mekabel Tumah? So the Amoraim discussed this. Amar Rav, Rav suggests, Roy Lishos Bo Mayim Bamelchama, you could use it as a canteen of water to fill up water with during a time of war. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Roy Lasuch Bo Shemen Bamelchama, you could use it to anoint oil during a time of war. Rashi points out that Rav must hold that such a malacha is not considered a real malacha, because no one would ever do that, meaning no one would ever bring Shemen the Melchama. You don't practice spa treatments when you're out at war. You live like you're at war when you're out at war, and then when you come home, you could be Lasuch. So that's what Rashi points out, why Rav disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and Rabbi Yochanan, again, we're focused on Rabbi Yochanan over here. He says the fact that you could drink from it, or you could use it, Losuch Bo Shemen, come on, that's not going to give it the status of a kli, because that's not its original intended malacha. It was intended to be used as a shoe to protect the feet of the animals. So the fact that it's still functional to use for something else, which wasn't its original malacha, which isn't its intended malacha, doesn't give it the status of a kli. No, you know what gives it the status of a kli? B'shah shabareach minakerev b'nicho baraglo v'rotz al kotzin v'al barkanim. That if a person is running away from minakrav, from melchama, he could put it on his feet and run on kotzin and barkanim, on the thorns and thistles and all of these things that would normally hurt his feet. So since a human might use it for a shoe to protect one's feet, and that's me'ein melachto rishona, that's what it was originally intended to do, to protect feet, so therefore it's mekabel tuma. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that even when it comes to tumas meis, we say bo v'nas melachteinu rishona, and if it's not roi from melachto rishona, then it's not going to be mekabel tuma. So when faced with this choice of are we going to change Rabbi Yochanan's shita about the bell, or are we going to change Rabbi Yochanan's shita about the tumas medrash, so we'd rather change the first shita about the bell, because we know Rabbi Yochanan's general attitude that it still needs to be ra'oi l'malacha rishona. But we happen to have mentioned, once we were discussing it, what the function of this animal shoe is. By the way, we said a sandal shel behema shel matechas. Tosfos points out, if it were made out of eitz, then it's not ra'oi for any other tashmish, because the behema would ruin it by walking with it, and therefore it's not going to be mekabel tuma. So it's only if it's made out of metal where you can then shift it for use as a canteen, as something to be lasach ba'as Hashemen, as something to put on people's feet. But if it was made out of eitz, then it would be absolutely not functional at all. However, Tosfos quotes that the Rashbam has a different girsa. Shel behema vishel mateches. Two different cases. That a sandal shel behema is tamei even if it's made out of eitz. And when we say shel mateches, we're not talking about a sandal shel behema. A sandal that sayadim, that people who work with plaster use, which we're going to discuss in about a week from now, that's mekabel tuma. They use it so that their feet don't get stuck in the plaster that they're working with. So that's also mekabel tuma. That's how Rashbam understands that we're talking about two different kelim. We just read it like the simple pshat, like Tosa says, that it's one kli that we're talking about. But we had three different explanations as to why it's mekabel tuma. So the mai nafka mina between these three different explanations. So mai bein rav l'Rabbi Chanina. What's the nafka mina, whether you say like rav that it's roi to drink water out of at a time of melchama, or like Rabbi Chanina that it's roi to use for anointing oil at a time of melchama? Ikabinayu demais, if it was used in such a way that it is irreversibly disgusting, meaning there's no way to clean it out properly. So you would never drink from such a kli, but to hold some oil, you would use it to hold the oil. Ben Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Chanina, ikabinayu diyakir. And the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina is if it's a very heavy kli. And Rabbi Yochanan says that it needs to be rotwe for a person to use it as a shoe to run away with when he's being chased. Okay, so then if it's very heavy, that would be a terrible shoe to use, and therefore would not be ra'oi, and therefore would not be mekabel tuma. Whereas, according to Rabbi Chanina, it just needs to be ra'oi to use for lasach bo shemen b'melchama, and no matter how heavy it is, it's still functional on that level. Period. So that's the end of that discussion of the bell that lost its clapper and why it is that it's still mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yochanan's shita that it's mekabel tuma because you could use it for some other function, and then the Gemara ultimately changing that and saying that can't be Rabbi Yochanan's shita, because Rabbi Yochanan is not machshiv other functions. Rabbi Yochanan is only machshiv the original function. Good. So the Mishnah then said further, "V'lo bi'ir shel zahav," that a woman is not allowed to go out into Rishas Rabbim with an ir shel zahav. So my bi'ir shel zahav. What does that mean? An ir shel zahav. Rabbi Bar Chanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim didava. It was a type of jewelry that they made that had an image like the skyline of Yerushalayim. It had the image of like the Kotel or whatever else, or the Beis Hamikdash of Yerushalayim didava. So when a woman would put it on her, the way Rashi understands it, she would put it on her beged keneged alev. She'd wear it like a lapel pin, that kind of a pin that she would wear on her shirt, on her blouse. That's how Rashi understands it. The Ritva says Rashi means that it's a dafka keneged alev. But Tosfos, in Dibra Maschel below, says that no, we're talking about some sort of crown that was worn around the head. And Tosfos says the raya is because it's a beferish sugi in sota. At the very end of Masechta Sota, the Gemara tells us that the Mishnah tells us that they made a gzeira against Ataros Kalos, that Kalos are not allowed to wear crowns. And the Gemara says, "My Ataros Kalos, what kinds of crowns are we saying that Kalos are not allowed to wear?" And the Gemara says, "Ir Shel Zav." It identifies the Ir Shel Zav as the crown that a Kalos is not allowed to wear. It doesn't sound like a lapel pin. It sounds like something that is worn around the head. It seems like a very strong raya that Tosfos has against Rashi. We'll have to see from the Hemshech of the Sugya how Rashi might be able to answer it. So says the Gemara, "Kedavalei Rabbi Akiva l'debitu." That where do we ever find this such a thing called an Ir Shel Zav? Oh, it's just like Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. What's the story over there? Rabbi Akiva and his wife had a fascinating relationship and a fascinating story behind that relationship. Which part of the story is this, where she gets this magnificent piece of jewelry? Right, that's not a much celebrated part of the story. So the Gemara Maseches Nedarim and Daf Nun tells us that when Kalba Savua heard that Rabbi Akiva was Mekadesh his daughter and that his daughter accepted Kiddushin to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva at that time was a total Am Haaretz, so he took a neder that his daughter is never going to be able to get Hana from his nechassim, and he was a wealthy man, and now she's cut off entirely from his nechassim. So when they got married, they had nothing. They didn't have a bed to sleep on, they didn't have pillows, they didn't have anything. They slept on straw, and in the morning, Rabbi Akiva would pull out the teven mibein sa'aroseha. He would pull out the straw that got stuck in her hair, because that's what they were sleeping on all night. And in order to be menachim her, that this is where, you know, she grew up, whatever, she grew up in the five towns, and now here she is having straw being picked out of her hair every morning because she's sleeping on such a bed. So he says, you know, if I were rich, I would buy you Yerushalayim Dedava. I would buy you an Ir Shel Zahav. So Tosos and the Rush write that from there you see, from the fact that he said that, it's Muchach that he must have ultimately did it, that he must have kept his word, that ultimately when he had more money, because we know in the end of the story, he comes back and he's a Talmud Chacham and now he gets the Nechassim. So when he had more money, he must have kept that promise. In the Yerushalmi over here, it brings the Maisa that Rabbi Gamliel's wife was jealous of Rabbi Akiva's wife because she had this Ir Shel Zahav. And he said, why does she get the Ir Shel Zahav? How come I don't get it? If I thought every Rebbetzin should get an Ir Shel Zahav. We all deserve it. So Rabbi Gamliel said, no, because she, you know what kind of Mesiris Nefesh she had for Torah? The Mesiris Nefesh that she had is the stuff that legends are made of. We still talk about her Mesiris Nefesh for Torah. So that's why she was Zocha to have this Ir Shel Zahav. It's a troubling Yerushalmi. That's what she was Zocha to because of the Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, a nice piece of jewelry. I would think that she's zocha to a lot more than a nice piece. That the nice piece of jewelry is like is nothing when you consider the schar of Sheli v'shalachem shalahi. Rabbi Akiva's immortal words, that everything that he and his talmidim have, and we're all talmidim Rabbi Akiva, by the way, or that everything he and his talmidim have is all belongs to her. So the stum of the schar is much greater. Tosas raises the question that our Mishnah, it's muchach that it's you're allowed to walk around with Nir Shel Zav on a week. Day. But in Masechta Sota, it says that they made a gezera. They are not allowed to be miskashet with an Ir Shel Zav. So Tosfos says, no, the gezera wasn't that nobody's allowed to be miskashet with an Ir Shel Zav. The gezera was that a kala is not allowed to wear an Ir Shel Zav. Good, we had a machlokas. Rishonim, how long does a woman have the status of a kala? But it's only while she's a kala. All other women are allowed to wear the Ir Shel Zav. So comes along the Magine Shlomo. Magine Shlomo is the sefer that was designated to protect Rashi from all the attacks of Tosos. And he says, I now have a defense for Rashi. Based on this kasha of Tosos, he says, I could explain the entire Gemara differently, and this must be how Rashi explained the Gemara. When the Gemara says, might be Ir Shel Zav, the Gemara wasn't asking, you know, like we're in the jewelry business. How do you make this? You know, what is this? What does it look like? What is an Ir Shel Zav? No, the Gemara is asking Tosfos Kasha. It's saying, wait a second. How can the Mishnah talk about a woman going out with an Ir Shel Zav? We already have a Maseches Sota, a Takana that you're not allowed to have an Ir Shel Zav anymore. And the Gemara's answer is that there are two types of Ir Shel Zav. When the Gemara describes what an Ir Shel Zav is, Yerushalayim Dedava. So Rashi says the Gemara. Rashi then writes Yerushalayim Dedava. That she wears as a lapel pin. Nothing to do with the Sugi and Sota. The Sugi and Sota is a crown. The Gezerah only covered crowns. It didn't cover lapel pins. And that's why our Mishnah is going to talk about wearing the pin on the lapel. And Rabbi Akiva, and that's why we mentioned that Rabbi Akiva made such a thing for his wife. Rabbi Akiva was after the Churban. He never would have made the thing that's aser for a woman to wear. So it must be that Rabbi Akiva made something else. He made something a tachshit shekineged alev. That's how the Magen Shlomo defends Shitas Rashi. The Rashash has something similar in how he explains the Gemara's Kasha. That my Ir Shel Zav is not just an informational question, hey, what does an Ir Shel Zav look like? But no, it's more than that. It's how can we have a Nir Shel Zav if the Gemara in Sota said you're not allowed to? So the Rashash understands the Gemara's Kasha is that when that it's Yerushalayim Tadava. It's not just any city. Why are you not allowed to have a Nir Shel Zav? Why does Gemara in Sota say? Because Zechul Churban. Because we're always trying to recall the Churban, so you shouldn't have the super fancy jewelry. But what if the jewelry itself was to highlight the beauty of Yerushalayim? That's why they made it so fancy. Because it's meant to be, to look like Yerushalayim, and to highlight the beauty of Yerushalayim. Oh, if it's going to highlight the beauty of Yerushalayim, then that itself is a Zecher L'Churban. That's how the Rashash understands the Gemara's answer, based on his understanding of the Gemara's question. There is an interesting comment in the Tzava of Rabbi Yudah HaChassid, in Os Lamed Zayin. Rabbi Yudah HaChassid says that if a person says something, Derech Chok, or Derech Azus, or Derech Gizum, or Derech Leganus, or Bekaso, to do such a thing, he says, I'm going to do something, even if he just said it once, he should do it sometime before he dies. And the Makor Chesed, which is shows the sources for many of the items in the Sefer Chassidim and in the Tzavas Rabbi Yudah HaChassid, he points out that the Makor for that is our Gemara. Where do we get this idea that even if you say something B'derech Guzma, you're just exaggerating, you're saying it sarcastically, that you should still fulfill it? Because our Gemara assumes that if Rabbi Akiva was promising his wife when they were dirt poor and they couldn't afford anything, that I'm going to buy you an Ir Shel Zahav one day, the Gemara assumes he must have done it. Why would you make such an assumption? He must say he was joking. They couldn't have two nickels to rub together. He's going to buy an Ir Shel Zahav. No, but once he said it, so then Motzis Lasech Yishmar, a person should fulfill that which they say. Tan Rabbanan, Lotetzi Yishub Ir Shel Zahav. On this topic of an Ir Shel Zahav, a woman should not go out with an Ir Shel Zahav. Im Yatzah Chayav Schatas. And if she does, she's Chayav Karmel Chatas Divrei Reb Meir. V'cham Momrim, meaning it's an Issa Doraisa to go out with the Ir Shel Zahav. It's not a Chasha Shema that she might come. To carrying it, wearing it is carrying, and that's an issa d'oraisa. The Chum lotate saving yotze p'tura. The Chum say she can't go out with it, but it's only an issa d'rabanan. If she's going to be pater, it's pater avlaser. So it's a gzeira shema. It's something that something might happen. Rabbi Lazar Amar yotze isha b'yershal zav l'chachila, and then Rabbi Eliezer says she's even l'chachila allowed to go out with an yershal zav. So b'may kamiflgi, what is this three way machlokas about? Rabbi Meir savar masuhu. Rabbi Meir says since it's very heavy, it's a burden. It's not made as a tachshit. The whole purpose of it is just to show off one's wealth. And since it's a masui, just wearing it is like carrying it. So carrying it, Dalaramus and Rishus Rabim, you're going to be chayiv. Or carrying it from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, you're going to be chayiv. That's how the Rashba explains. In the Netziv, in Merome Sada, he says that the whole purpose of carrying it is to remember Yerushalayim. They just made it out of gold in order to make it a tachshit as well. But since its primary purpose is to remember Yerushalayim, that's why it's called a masui. That we have all of these things, Chazal tell us, all of these ideas. Some are takanos kavuos that we had to do. The Gemara Maseches Basra tells us that Tzion hi doreshein la mechal debay drisha and imesh kachech Yerushalayim tishkach imini, that we have, these are two psukim between Basra and Maseches Sukkah, two different sugyas about a mechayiv to do things to remember Yerushalayim. And apparently there were also hanhagos that they had that weren't a takana kavua, that they put in their jewelry, that they're... So we still do it, right? We still have, our challah boards have themes of Yerushalayim on it. All of our Judaica has themes of Yerushalayim on it. We're always trying to recall Yerushalayim. So that's why it's a masui. It's not really a garment. It's not really a regular tachshit. The Rabbanan Savri tachshit. The Rabbanan say, no, it's a tachshit. It's not a masui. And therefore, midoraisa, you're allowed to wear it. Why midrabbanan is rasa? Del mashal for mechavile, because we're afraid she might take it off to show it off to her friends. And once she takes it off, she's going to come to carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. So as a gzeira, we don't allow her to even wear it. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, man darka lemepak b'yir shel zav, isha chashuva, v'isha chashuva l'mishalfa machvia. That who's going to wear an ir shel zav? Only an isha chashuva would wear an ir shel zav, and an isha chashuva would never take it off to show it to other people. By other tachshitim, even an isha chashuva is aser. Meaning, when it comes to other pieces of jewelry that we're concerned women might take off, even an isha chashuva is aser. Tosfos points out over here why an isha chashuva never takes off her jewelry. Yeah, but if it's the type of jewelry that everybody wears, so then there's something called the lo plug. So then that becomes aser to wear. We don't make exceptions. Oh, this person is allowed to, and that person's not allowed to. It's got to be a lo plug. But in Yer Shel Zav, only an isha chashuva would ever wear one in the first place. So all of those who wear an Yer Shel Zav do not remove the Yer Shel Zav. And that's why there's no need for such a gezeira. That's the difference. Kalila, now we move on to a different piece of jewelry, some type of headpiece that was worn like a crown, but it could either be made out of gold or silver, or it could be made out of fabric with golden strands in it and with different stones in it. So it's machlokas amoraim, whether you're allowed to go out with it to Rosh HaSarabim. Rav Asar Ushmol Shari. Rav says mutter, Rav says Asar, Shmuel says it's mutter. So what kalila? What is this talking about? So de'ai niska, if it's made out of metal, made out of gold, made out of silver, kuli amal pligi daser, then everyone's going to say that's very chashuv, that's going to be aser. We're afraid that a woman might remove it to show it off to her friends, and then she'll end up carrying it. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is only about de'aruksa, when it's made out of fabric, and it just has golden trimmings to it, and nice avanim in it, where it's not as chashuv as something that's made out of solid gold. So Marsa of our Aniska Iker, Rav holds that we primarily look at these strands of gold in it, and therefore we are concerned that she's going to want to take it off and show it off to her friends. Umar Savar, and Shmuel holds Aruksa Iker, that these strands, the fabric, are the Iker, and therefore the woman doesn't view it as such a chashva thing, so she's not going to take it off in order to show it off to her friends. Rishonim are bothered by the Kasha. Who cares what the Iker is? Meaning it's not about what the Iker is. The question is, if it has avadim tovos in it, it has these beautiful gems in it, so she might take it off to show those gems off to her friends. That's something that Rishonim are bothered by, like why the ikker really matters. So we have to say over here is the ikker means attitudinally, meaning does she view it as like silver plated? Does she view it as something that's worth showing off, or does she not view it as something that's worth showing off? Ravashi Masni Lukula. Then the Gemara brings a second understanding of what this machlokas was about. And Rav Ashi taught this machlokas in one level down. The aruksa, that one, when it comes to the kalila that's made out of a strap, out of strands, to kuli amalo pligi deshari. Both Rav and Shmuel are going to say that's mutter. No one, no woman would ever take that off to show it off to her friends. You don't have to make any such gezeira. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is about the aniska, when it's made out of gold or silver. Mar savar dil mashalfa mechavi vasilu siye, that Rav holds, we're still concerned, for that we're concerned she might take it off and show it off to her friends. Umar Savar Man Dark Lamepak Bakli Isha Khashuv Ish Khashuva Lo Shalfa Mechavya. And Shmuel will say only an Isha Khashuva would ever wear such a thing, and you have to worry that an Isha Khashuva is going to take something off and show it off to her friends. So according to this version, when it comes to the one that's not made out of gold and silver, everyone's going to agree that it's mutter. Even Rav is going to agree that it's mutter. So the Gemara brings a raya that this must be the correct version, because we do in fact find that Rav holds that wearing a kalila is mutter. In the first version of the Machlokas, there's nothing that Rav would say would mutter. If it's made out of gold or silver, it's for sure aser. Everyone says it's aser. And if it's made out of cloth, then even Rav, then Rav would still say it's aser. So the second version is the only version that has it, that Rav would say it's mutter in some circumstances. So Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Chana l'Rav Yosef. So he said to Rav Yosef, who was his Rebbe, Beferish Amalei Mishmed Rav Kli L'Shari. You know, you once told us Beferish that Kli is Mutter. Why does he have to tell Rav Yosef what Rav Yosef told them? Because we know that Rav Yosef, the Gemara Masech Nedarim, Adaf Mem Aleph, tells us that Rav Yosef got sick and he forgot all of his learning. So he needed his Talmidim to remind him of the different things that he taught them. So the Talmidim tell him, you taught us that Rav holds that it's Mutter. So how can we say that Rav holds that it's aser? It must be that there are two different types of kalilos, and that if it's a kalila made out of a kesef zav, that's where Rav says that it's aser, but if it's made out of ritzua, then Rav would say that it's mutter. So the Gemara brings a maisa related to this. Amrulei l'Rav, Asa gavar rabba aricha l'nar da'a umitla. So they told Rav that a tall guy who's... who has a disability, came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, meaning he has a limp, he has some sort of disability. So Vidarash Kalila Shari, and he came and he started teaching that you're allowed to wear a Kalila, and Rav is the Baal Memru who says you're not allowed to wear a Kalila. So here comes this fellow that they only identify by his physical characteristics to Rav, and they tell him that he's teaching that Kalila's mutter. So Amar Man Gavra Rabba Aricha Di Itala Levi. Rav says, by that description I know exactly who you're talking about. That must be Levi. So Rav says that something must have happened in Eretz Yisrael, because when Rebbe passed away, Rebbe said that Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama is going to be the new Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Chanina didn't want to be the Rosh Yeshiva because of the kavod of Rabbi Efes. Rabbi Efes was 2.5 years older than Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina didn't want to take the position, even though Rebbe had handpicked him as his successor. So they instead put Rabbi Efes as the Rosh Yeshiva, and because Rabbi Chanina was every bit as chashuv as Rabbi Efes, he didn't want to enter the Beis Medrash, so Rabbi Chanina would stand outside of the Beis Medrash, but because Rabbi Chanina was all alone outside of the Beis Medrash, Levi didn't want to leave Rabbi Chanina outside of the Beis Medrash, so Levi sat together with Rabbi Chanina. So Rav says, ooh, if Levi is here, that means something changed in the, in the setup over there. The whole setup was that Rabbi Efes was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Chanina and Levi sat outside the Beis Medrash. So what happened to Rabbi Chanina if Levi's over here? So Shema Mina, Nach Nafshei Rabbi Efes. It must be that Rabbi Efes died. And that's why V'yasav Rabbi Chanina Bresha, Rabbi Chanina finally took his rightful place as the Rosh Yeshiva, which means Levi lost his Chavrusa. V'lav Aleinish Levi L'meisav Gabe. So Levi had no one to sit with, because Levi was not going to sit inside a kuf of Rabbi Chanina, because he was every bit as great as Rabbi Chanina. So he needed to find a new yeshiva, so he came here. So that was Rav's comment about how he figured out, he surmised what must have led to Levi's arrival in Bavel. Says Gemara, but how does Rav know that Rabbi Efes died? There's a much more direct way for Levi to have lost his chavrusa. Maybe his chavrusa died. Rabbi Chanina died, and that's why Levi came. Rabbi Efes, maybe Rabbi Efes remained as Rosh Yeshiva, and Levi had no one to learn with, and that's why Levi came to Bavel. Now, imisid Rabbi Chanina shachiv, because if Rabbi Chanina would have died and Rabbi Efes would have still been the Rosh Yeshiva, Levi the Rabbi Efes make a kayafle. Levi would have gone inside and he would have been kafuf to Rabbi Efes. Visu, and furthermore, another raya that Rabbi Efes must have been the one that died is Rabbi Chanina lo sagid lo malich to chiyavakar nicha nafshei to Rabbi Amar Chanina Rabbi Chama Yosef Barosh uksivbu b'tzadikim v'tigzom Rabbi Yakum lach, that when Rabbi died, Rabbi said that Rabbi Chanina is going to be the Rosh Yeshiva one day, and it hadn't happened yet. And we know that Tzaddik Ozer Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim V'Tigzorim Rav Yakum Lach, that when a Tzaddik makes a Gzeira down here, HaKodesh Baruch Hu is Mekayim the Gzeira up in Shemayim. So that's how the Gemara darshan that pasuk in Maseches Tainis. So we know that has to happen, and that's how Rav was able to surmise how Levi ended up in Bavel. But once Levi was in Bavel, what was he saying? Let's get to the halacha that he was teaching. So Darish Levi Benar Klila Shari. In Narda, Levi was teaching everyone that a woman is allowed to wear a Klila on Shabbos. Nafak Esrin Varba Klili Mikula Narda. And in all of Narda, only 24 women started wearing a Klila. Darish Rabba Baravua b'machoza klila shari. When Rabba Baravua had a similar teaching in Machoza that a klila was mutter, v'nafku tamni srei klili mechada mavua. And a single mavui, 18 klilos came out of a single mavui, not out of out of one tiny little neighborhood in the city. So the Chassam Sofer in the more recent writings of the Chassam Sofer Miksav Yad that they printed 20 years ago, the Chassam Sofer writes it's telling us the mila of the Anshei Narda, that even once they got the heter, they didn't, for the most part, they didn't take advantage of the heter. They were machmir al atzman, as opposed to in Machoza, everyone took advantage of the heter. Rav Maisha in Dibros Moshe says different. He says it's telling us there's no difference between the places, and even if the whole city only has 24 women that are nashim chashuvos, it's still a machloka samurai whether the klil is mutter or aser. I mean, it has nothing to do with the general economic status of the neighborhood. When the Gemara tells us how many women in each neighborhood. It's not talking about how machmir they were. It's talking about how rich they were. So it doesn't matter. The economic status apparently doesn't matter. Amar Rabbi Gamar Shmuel, Kamara, Kamra, Shari. A certain type of chashva belt is mutter. Igadamri Daruksa. Some say that it means that it has golden strands in it. Vamrav Safra, Midadava, Talis Muzueves. It's like a Talis Muzueves that you're allowed to go out with, and it's not considered a masri that's also in the Torah, even though it's made for Nashim Chashuvim. So this belt also, it's only made for Chashva people. It's considered a Takshit, and it's mutter to go out with. So V'ikadamri da'aniska, and some say, no, this is a type of belt that's made entirely of gold or silver. V'amrav Safra, Midadava Avnei Shalmalachim. This is similar not to the belts that were worn by the officers of the king's court, but by the kings themselves, that's a malbush for them. It's not considered a masui, and everyone's allowed to go out with it, even though it's only made for malachim, because we have a principle we're going to learn about later in the Masechta, it's Machlokas Tanayim, actually, that Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim, that all of the Jewish people have a status of B'nei Malachim. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Karma, Ilave Himay Namai. Can a person go out wearing a chashva belt on top of his regular belt? So normally you're not allowed to go out with two belts, one on top of the other, because that's not a normal way to wear things. That's considered like a masui. But over here, it could be that it's mutter because the kamra is primarily for noi, for takshit. It's not meant to be functional. And the hamayna is primarily to be functional. It's the belt that holds his pants up. So amalei, trei hamayna kamrit. You're asking about wearing two different belts? That's a davar pashut. You're not allowed to wear two different belts. That's how Rashi understands. All the Gemara says is two belts. So it doesn't really, so Rashi fills in two belts. That's got to be us. You're not allowed to wear two belts. This is this Gemara, you know, it may not sound so halacha l'maisa. Who in the world wears two belts? So the poskim all discuss this Gemara when it comes to wearing a gartel outside on Shabbos. There's a person wearing two belts, right? A person wears a belt to hold his pants up, and then he wears another belt for whatever, for davening or whatever. Whatever I wrote about in my first sefer, why it is that people wear gartels and what the function of it is. But this is the basis for all of that discussion in poskim. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amar Rav Ashi tomorrow.